Please welcome to the 35th episode of Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
On today's episode, we'll be discussing wax horror. Is that a thing? Is that,
I guess.
Can we legit say that? We're talking about Waxwork, from 1988, and House of Wax from 2005, the remake. You're welcome. For those of you who might be new to our podcast, we are spoiler heavy. So as a reminder, if you haven't seen these films before, just a heads up, we will probably spoil them. So check them out. Waxwork is currently streaming on Shudder. If you have a subscription to that, you might be able to find it on YouTube, although I would never, ever tell you to watch anything on YouTube that's not legal or something. House of Wax is on Netflix, but by the time you listen to this, it might be gone. So
yeah, it's leaving, I think, June 1?
June 1, yeah, probably by the time this airs, we're assholes, but We procrastinated to talk about House of Wax, but Carly did not want to let it go.
She didn't.
Was like, we need to do this. It's leaving. It has to happen. Oh, well, I'm excited to hear you talk about House of Wax, Carly. It's going to be a fun episode, I think. But before we jump into it, let's get started with a segment we like to call
Trailer Trash Talk.
Today's trailer is Camera Obscura, directed by Aaron B. Kuntz and written by Cameron Burns and Aaron B. Kuntz. The IMDb summary is: a veteran war photographer with PTSD sees imminent deaths of his developed photos, questioning his already fragile sanity and putting the lives of those he loves in danger. What did you think of this trailer, Carly?
I thought it looked really interesting. I kept saying, where is this guy from? Like the main actor, and I had to IMDb him. He was in The Following, apparently.
Oh, okay.
I think it looks interesting. I think that some shots are very, like, I don't want to say student film, because I feel like that always has, like, a bad connotation to it, but, like shots that I've seen in, like, 48-hour, like, horror film festivals that I've done.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I hear you. I felt the same way, where I'm like, student, not necessarily student film, but like low budget, made for TV film, maybe.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Not as bad as like a sci-fi movie. Maybe not sci-fi now, but like sci-fi when it was like more sci-fi. You know?
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah, it has like a low quality. And it's funny because it says from a producer of Paranormal Activity, which
just one
of them. We don't know which one. I mean, we probably could if I looked it up, but I didn't care enough to. But you know what? Usually you see that from a producer, from the producers of Paranormal Activity or The Conjuring, as you see now more often.
Because everyone's a part of The Conjuring universe.
Exactly. But it's kind of weird to see that and then see this quality, because I'm used to like big Hollywood films throwing that out as like a way to get you to be interested in it. Mm-hmm. And this is like, check out this movie from a producer of Paranormal Activity. And I'm like, oh, this looks kind of inexpensive.
Okay. Yeah.
discount bin horror movie. Although, and I don't necessarily mean that as an insult. I think it could be really good. I think the idea is good. Although I feel like I've seen stuff that's similar.
I feel like camera horror movies are usually very along the same lines.
Yeah. But, like, it's still kind of cool, like, adding a PTSD element to it can be interesting.
That's cool. I didn't get that from the trailer.
Yeah. And I've done a lot of research on PTSD just because I was writing a script based on someone with PTSD. So that, like, I don't know, like, there's a lot of hallucinating and things like that that can go along with PTSD.
Absolutely.
So it could be interesting. It could be mind-bending. And, you know, pictures are creepy, and seeing, like, it's funny how quickly like paper photographs turn creepy. Like, it's already kind of weird to have paper to have like physical photographs in your hand nowadays. Like, it's kind of a not a normal thing. Although we're always looking at pictures of each other, like, there's something about having a tangible photograph in your hand that can be kind of creepy. I don't know. Like, I'm down. I'm down with photographic horror, if that's a thing. Just like how horror. Wax horror is maybe a thing. I don't know. Slightly. It must be. If there's enough movies about it, there must be something that everyone finds creepy about these things, you know?
I mean, yeah, it's like that unidentified thing in the photograph, like, yes, orbs, or which are very, you know, common in the supernatural world. And like, you know, I don't know, there's just like,
oh, have you ever watched those, like, I don't know, it's probably on like BuzzFeed or something stupid, but it's like, check out these pictures with these creepy things in the background.
Yes,
they freak me out so bad. There's one, I can't even remember it, but there's one where it's like a couple getting married, and there's like a creepy old man face like right behind her, and it freaks me out every time. I'm sure it's fake, or like it's just my eyes playing tricks on me, but whatever, right, it is, it freaks me out. So like, you know, stuff like that works for me, but I could see this maybe working. I don't think this is probably going to be a direct to VOD, I would imagine. I don't think we're going to be seeing this on any big screens anytime soon.
Yeah, it's one of those things where I feel like, I mean, obviously I haven't seen it, but I have an idea of where they're going with it.
Yeah.
And what might be like the quote unquote twist, if there is one. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if I saw this on, you know, Netflix, I'd watch it.
Yeah. I could see us doing like a camera horror episode. Yeah.
Photo horror.
Like, just, can we just not do Shudder though? Because fuck that movie. Oh my god, it's so bad. The American remake.
Okay, yeah. Is that the one with
Joshua Jackson? Casey? Oh yep. My god, yes. It's so horrible. I rewatched that one fairly recently, and I was like, why am I even watching this?
I've thought about rewatching it recently, and then like I see like the piggyback gremlin, and I'm like, oh, I'm okay.
It's so bad.
It's funny.
It might be fun to like do a live tweet of that though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Should we move on? Or do we?
Let's do it.
I don't know that we really even talked about, but I think it might look decent, and I think it might be worth watching.
I think we both decided that it doesn't look amazing, like, visually, but we'd watch it. We'd watch it on Netflix.
It still looks, like, kind of gory, and the special effects that I did see look decent. I don't know. Like, I'm sure it's fun.
Sure. Why not?
Just low expectations, but sure, I'll watch it.
Totally.
Okay. Cool. Let's move on. Let's talk about Waxwork from 1988. It's written and directed by Anthony Hickox, who did Waxwork 2, Warlock the Armageddon, which is the sequel to Warlock that we watched fairly recently, Carly. Mm-hmm. And he also directed Hellraiser 3. This film is starring Zach Galligan, who is most well-known, I would suppose, from Gremlins.
Definitely.
We also got Deborah Foreman in here from April Fools, and one of my all-time favorites, Valley Girl. And also David Warner, who everyone knows from films like Titanic. The Omen, and of course, Titanic.
That's where I go.
Right?
Immediately.
The IMDb summary is, a wax museum owner uses... Let me try that again. There's a lot of S's in it. Tripped me up. A wax museum owner uses his horror exhibits to unleash evil on the world. It's uses his horror. It's hard to say that. Uses his horror.
Uses his horror.
Yeah, it's difficult to say. So this is a fun one, Carly. Was this your first time watching Waxwork?
It was my first time watching Waxwork. And it started off heavy cheese. I mean, granted, there's heavy cheese throughout the whole thing, but I was like, what is going on? But once we finally got into it, that I was like, oh, this is a blast. I'm having such a fun time.
It's a good time. It's not a good movie, though. Like, it's pretty bad, but it's really fun. It's a really fun one. It's got the 80s horror charm. And I feel like this kind of goes hand in hand with like Monster Squad. Almost.
Oh, yeah.
Because we have like a variety of monsters, and it's 80s, and there's young people in it. You know, it's kind of got a Monster Squad vibe to it. Yeah, we got werewolves and mummies and witches.
Vampires.
Aliens.
Zombies.
Yeah, zombies. Axe murderers. There's all sorts of cool stuff.
Marquis de Sade.
Yeah. That's going to be a discussion. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
I don't even know where to start with that one. Let's not start there. I absolutely love Deborah Foreman and I love Valley Girl. Valley Girl is one of my favorite 80s teen comedies.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
What?
I've never seen Valley Girl.
It's got Nicolas Cage in it. Okay.
Here. I'm not a huge 80s movie fan.
Carly, let me break it down for you.
Unless it's like a child's movie, like a kid's movie.
Well, can I need to break this down for you, though.
Do it.
Because you will love Valley Girl. Okay.
I'm curious.
So Deborah Foreman is a Valley Girl, but her parents, Sonny Bono is her father.
Yes.
I forget who plays her mother. And they own a health food store, restaurant place. And she's like, talks like a Valley Girl, like, oh my God, like that the whole time. That's her voice. That's how they all talk. And then Nicolas Cage is from Hollywood and he is like a little punk rock badass. And her friend, and they meet at a party and they fall in love, but her friends don't like him and his friends don't like her. And they have to like find a way to be together, you know?
So it's Crybaby.
Yes, but not.
I loved Crybaby.
It's weird because there's like a lot of nudity in it and there's like weird sexual stuff also. It's kind of like
Nick Cage.
Yeah, it's kind of like if Crybaby and I don't know, what's a Fast Times at Ridgemont High had a baby.
Okay.
It's kind of similar to that. But I think you would like it. It's a really fun movie. Also, Nicolas Cage has a triangle of chest hair in that movie, which is like undeniably amazing. Okay, sorry. Back to Waxwork. I really love Valley Girl. We're going to watch that next time. We're going to actually watch a non-horror movie next time we hang out.
Amazing.
Okay. So basically in this movie, we have teenagers who are friends, I think, and they go to this wax museum at midnight because they got invited by a creepy guy who apparently the teenage girls think David Warner is hot.
I guess that's what it seems like.
Really? Am I supposed to really believe that teenage girls think 80s David Warner is hot?
I'll be there at midnight. Wink, wink.
Wink, wink. And then they go and then there's, you know, they slowly get these, they're mesmerized by these wax exhibits. And as they step into them, they become part of the world and they die and become part of the actual exhibit themselves.
I would have been really happy if there wasn't even like any wrap up and that's all that it was.
I wish it was more of that. Yeah.
I like didn't need the story. I didn't need them to figure out what was going on.
I think the story didn't really make sense.
That's
the problem. Because when we have Zach Galligan's character going into, like, let's go in my attic and find stuff out about my grandpa. I'm like, why are we doing this? Like, can't you just be sucked into this weird thing? Like,
yeah.
It was weird that there's a whole history about it, and then there's all these old people, and there's the worst fighting scene ever.
Which is amazing.
He had, like, cardboard, like, cut out and, like, taped, duct taped to his wheelchair. Somehow that was supposed to protect him from something. And I know we're jumping to the end, but it's so ridiculous.
Yeah, there's really there's nowhere to go here.
But even at the beginning, when they're walking through the wax exhibit, you can tell they're just people standing there. Like, they're breathing and moving.
They're breathing. Yeah. I started watching this with Steve, and he's like, so it's just a person with an axe standing over this body.
They like, look basically nothing like wax figures. It's really hilarious. Happening. They did it so much. It's so hard to watch that part because you're like, how hard is it to get, like, even, like, models and stuff? Like, think about the original House of Wax from the 50s. That looked, like, more legit, like, wax figures than this. And I would think it'd be pretty easy to get, like, even small scale. That room was pretty plain. You'd think that they could make, like, a smaller version of that set and have, like, even small-scale wax figures and do some close-up shots of that. It would look rad.
I feel like what they were trying to say is, like, these are real people and not wax. So
wait,
they
so you think it's intentional? You don't think it's because they're cheap? I think it's because they're cheap, Carly.
I feel like it could go either way.
I don't know that it was, like, artistically crafted.
Well, because one time they were like, people. One time, like, some, I think a line was like, oh, they look so real.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what most people say when they go into a decent wax museum.
Is it?
That's what I say. Have you been to a good wax museum? That shit's creepy.
I mean, but they still look like wax. They don't, like, look, like, I've never, like, whoa, that looks so real.
I guess. Have you seen the new Donald Trump wax figure at Madame Tussauds or whatever it's called?
I mean, I will never look at that.
I know, but I'm just saying, it looks real, but I'm pretty sure he's not real, so it looks accurate. It looks as plastic as he is. It's really fun, though. This movie is so much fun, but it is cheesy.
It's a blast.
It's supposed to be funny, and it is. It's funny in the way it's supposed to be, and also in the way it's not supposed to be. I don't know. It's just a great time. The director wrote the screenplay in 3 days, which is...
Okay, it seems about right.
Which is... Right? That's exactly how long. Like, if someone was like, how long do you think it should have taken to write this screenplay? I would say, about 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
And there were supposed to be more characters at the waxwork. But they couldn't get the rights to it. They were going to do Jason Voorhees. They were going to put kids from the Village of the Damned in there. And they were even going to get, The Thing from John Carpenter's The Thing put in there.
Interesting. But, that would have been, I feel like that they would have been overreaching.
Yeah, I mean, it is kind of cool that they have all these callbacks to, like, older movies, though. But I thought that they were picking the worst people in human history. And... would that then presuppose that, like, Jason Voorhees was an actual human being in this universe that they're living in and not a movie? But it seemed like there was also a fan kid, right? There was a fan kid who was in there and was like, oh, I have to have this because it's from the movie.
And but then they're like, oh, they made a movie about the Phantom of the Opera? They'll make a movie about anything nowadays.
Okay, so these are supposed to be legit people, right? In this universe. Okay, that's really weird, but okay. So we also have, like, alien creatures. We have a Cobra Man that's a circus freak. We have Jack the Ripper, which I guess is a real person. A golem. There's a golem in there. a mummy. Axe murderers, Invisible Man, Frankenstein's monster, Dracula.
We got all sorts.
Marquis de Sade. Oh my god. So I didn't understand. I guess we need to talk about Marquis de Sade. But I didn't know a lot about Marquis de Sade when I watched this. So I was just like, why is there just some random dude whipping her? And she likes it so much.
She loves it.
That was weird, wasn't it? Like, that she liked it so much?
I mean, it was weird that, like, everybody else seemed to be very aware that this isn't their reality. They're, like, stuck in a different reality. But she was, like, the only one that seemed to get, like, taken into it.
And there's a weird part where he tries to kiss her. And she's like, that's not what I'm looking for. And you're, like, kind of led to believe that she wants a real relationship or something. But are we now supposed to think, because she loved this Marquis de Sade thing, that, like, she is now, like, maybe what she meant is that she wants, like, a BDSM relationship and not, like, some normal vanilla type relationship? Like, I'm confused by her and her situation, because it seems really out of nowhere and weird because of exactly what you said. Like, everyone else is hyper aware of the world that they're in is not their own, but she's just like, no, I want Marquis de Sade to fucking flog me and have embarrassing sex in front of other people with me.
I think it's more of like his character, or like who he was, I guess, that like that's what he did. He was very like into sadism and sexual cruelty, for lack of better words, and like
quote unquote
eroticism, you know, and so like, I don't know, like he, you know, was very much in her face, and he did grab her and kissed her before, like, you know, I don't know, that whole scene went on. It was definitely the weirdest
And it's a weird addition. Like, if you're doing a movie that's basically not very sexual, I mean, I guess there was some sexuality with Dracula, but that goes hand in hand. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really fit in with the rest of this stuff. It seems strange to me because we have some, like, you know, literary characters that are very prominent. I guess Marquis de Sade was a writer. So maybe
he was like a philosopher.
He was a philosopher
and a politician
and a pornographer. Right. I mean, his writings were basically pornography.
Oh, yeah.
He almost got arrested for sodomy multiple times with his man friend. And there was a lot of I was reading about him. He's a very interesting person. I really want to read more about him. But this was weird. This is a weird way to be introduced to him.
I mean, but then there's also like they say not to like look into their eyes or whatever because they'll get like entranced. So like that's kind of what happened to like the chick with Dracula is like she was like very aware of things. And then when she like made that eye contact is when mm-hmm. she kind of got enveloped by the story. Yeah. And the same thing like, you know, I don't know. So maybe that was like a thing.
Dracula was by far my favorite. I loved that whole
Me too.
Sequence. And you'd think Dracula, like, that's kind of boring. We've seen that how many times? But the way it was done was really fun. Although, in my circle of friends, and I guess in a real world, the steak tartare scene is, like, infamous.
So gross.
It's so ridiculous. And the way he says steak tartare is so weird. I'm going to cut it in here.
No, that's fine. I haven't had steak tartare in a long time.
Steak tartare? Oh, yes. Steak tartare.
Because it's like tartare. Steak tartare. It's just like weird the way he says it.
That was like so gross. I was like, don't do it.
It looks like strawberries. It didn't even look like steak.
And they pour the blood all over it. The salty sauce
that looks basically it's just blood. It was really fun, and I liked how she broke in and that guy's leg is gone, and you find out she basically just ate that guy's leg.
Yeah.
It's really good. Is that in the original Dracula? See, I want to go back and read all these, like, original horror, like, literary.
I actually have the Dracula audiobook, and I need to listen to it.
God, if that's like a real thing, I'm down. That sounds amazing. We also have Kane Hodder in this movie, which love me some Kane Hodder. He did some stunt work in the movie, and he's also plays Frankenstein's monster.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, he's not credited for it, but just something fun to go along with it. Yeah, it's nice to see, you know, we got Zach Galligan and Kane Hodder. We got some horror
alumni.
Yeah. And I feel like more than ever that I need to watch the second Warlock now. I mean, I've always kind of wanted to watch it since I watched the original Warlock, but now
I'm down. I'm down with that movie, 100%.
Anthony Hickox. I'm gonna go for it.
We're coming for you.
Right. But this movie is just a lot of fun. You know what's funny is I didn't realize that the horror show just did an episode on this movie recently. And usually we try to avoid doing movies that other podcasts that we talk to do.
Yeah. I was so set in doing House of Wax.
Well, she was so set in doing House of Wax, and we wanted to do another horror movie that had wax in it. There's not that many of them. And it wasn't until I started watching this because I listened to the horror show episode, but I never saw this movie. So when I started watching, I'm like, oh my god, they just talked about this, because it's like they go so far in detail with every scene that I was like, oh, it's like I watched this before because I just heard them talking about this. So just a heads up, sorry guys. But if you want to hear like someone dive more into this movie and really make fun of it, it's a good episode of the horror show to listen to, as they all are. We love those guys. We love Sean and
Joe. We do.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry for kind of stealing a movie you just did. I feel bad about it.
Yeah, because we're being like, go listen to them. Talk about it more.
I just wanted to bring it up because I didn't even realize till I already started watching it. I'm like, it's too late. We're doing it. I didn't realize it was the same one.
We committed.
Yeah, we did. Oh, man. But this was fun. What was your favorite scene, you think, in this one?
The Dracula scene.
Yeah, it really was such a good one. I also like the mummy one a lot. The mummy is a fun one also.
I like the mummy one too. The Dracula scene, though, I'm happy that it was earlier in the movie because that's kind of what grabbed my attention.
Totally.
That was sort of like, I didn't really like any of the characters, so I didn't really care what happened to them. But I was like, just kind of like along for the ride. And then like when that portion kind of happened, I was like, yes.
Well, and I thought what was really funny is at the end when they're having this big monster fight, I'm like, this is a little like Cabin in the Woods-esque. Like Carly might be down for all this monster fighting. Yes.
I love monster fighting.
Yeah.
The only thing that was missing was a unicorn.
Yeah, there was no unicorn. How sad. That's all right. That just means Cabin in the Woods had to do something original, you know?
It's very true.
The unicorn is and the merman or whatever that other weird one was. There's some really weird monsters in that movie.
Oh, man.
Maybe for Halloween this year we'll do that movie, Carly. I know how much you love it.
You do love it so much.
Yeah. All right. I don't know. I just really had a good time watching this, and I'm glad we talked about it and watched it.
Me too.
I feel like this is a staple we probably should have seen a long time ago, and I'm glad we're catching up on some of these. It's fun to go back and watch some of these old 80s quote-unquote cult classics that some people really love.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Check it out.
All right. Yeah, it's on Shudder. And Waxwork 2 is also on Shudder. So if you're really into Waxwork, although I watched the trailer for Waxwork 2 and I was like, that does not look like, you're like, nope. Anything I care about. All right. So if you guys have seen Waxwork 2 and it's awesome, let me know because then I'll watch it. But otherwise, I'm probably not going to watch it. I'm just being honest. Okay. Let's move on. Let's talk about Carly's favorite film from 2005.
My favorite movie of all time.
Of all time? I was just going to say 2005, but if you're going to go there, girl.
No, 2005. Okay. I don't even know what else came in 2005, so I'll... Sure.
directed by Jaime. Is that too French? Jaime? Is it just Jaime?
I don't know.
J-A-U-M-E? I'm saying Jaime. I don't care.
Jaime. I like it.
Sounds stupid. Jaime Collette Serra, who directed Orphan.
This is his directorial debut.
Orphan and The Shallows. This was his directorial debut. It's written by Charles Belden. Oh, it's not written by Charles Belden. He wrote the original House of Wax. This screenplay was written by Chad Hayes and Carrie Hayes, who have most recently written The Conjuring and The Conjuring 2. It's starring Alicia Cuthbert, Chad Michael Murray, Brian Van Holt, Paris Hilton, and Jared Padalecki. In case you guys, some of you might not know those words, but Chad Michael Murray and Jared Padalecki. I mean, we're in Gilmore Girls country here, friends.
We are.
2005. We are in Gilmore Girls country. And if you think we are not going to talk about Gilmore Girls, you are listening to the wrong show. The IMDb summary for this is a group of unwitting teens are stranded near a strange wax. I have so much saliva in my mouth right now. Sorry.
Let me drink my wine and give that a go.
I've been drinking all day because I had a pool party, so
I'm impressed. You're doing well.
I think I'm doing very well under the circumstances. A group of unwitting teens are stranded near a strange wax museum and soon must fight to survive and keep from becoming the next exhibit.
Dun, dun, dun!
That is definitely warranted in this circumstance, yes.
Yeah,
thank you,
it just
Carly.
Felt so right.
It did. It was perfect and well-timed. We have some really amazing people in this movie. We, of course, have Paris Hilton, who everyone probably knows.
I don't know how true this is, but according to IMDb, Jennifer Connelly and Kate Winslet were up for that role.
That's
but then they,
I
like,
too.
Settled on Paris Hilton.
Her acting is fucking tough.
Yes. So tough. But I do appreciate the studio for authorizing her to sell Watch Paris Dies tank tops to promote the movie.
I kind of want a Watch Paris Die tank top.
I also do.
That would be so cute if we had matching Watch Paris Die tank tops.
I think it would.
Oh, that would be so great. And we also have Chad Michael Murray and Jared Padalecki, who are Tristan and Dean on Gilmore Girls, and who hate each other in Gilmore Girls and also fight on this show and this movie. And it makes me so happy because I'm like, Tristan and Dean, who's going to win? Tristan. It's always Tristan. How do you feel about Chad Michael Murray? Because I feel like he's one of those guys where you either love him or you hate him.
He's fine. I feel like he always plays like the tough guy with a heart of gold. Just like I always feel like Jared Padalecki plays the good guy, like the really good boyfriend, the stand-up gentleman, like
the sweetie pie that does the right thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Both typecast in this movie.
But perfectly typecast it. And it works. So
yes.
Let's not look a gift horse in the mouth. And Alicia Cuthbert.
Yeah, I say Alicia. Who knows?
Yeah, it is Alicia. Right. I just couldn't get it out properly. you know, who's from The Girl Next Door or whatever that movie was, and a couple others. She's so cute, but I feel like adorable. I always get her confused with someone else. You know who she kind of reminds me of? Like, this is like an early 2000 version of the girl that's in like 10 Cloverfield Lane. Like, they kind of, for some reason, feel the same to me. Okay. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I do. I'm like totally drawing a blank, but
I feel like they play similar characters.
Ramona Flowers from,
like, they could be interchangeable in the movies that they're in because they're kind of like similar, at least in my head.
This is the first horror movie that she did. She was in a couple others.
Yeah,
I think so.
But
I like her. I think
this
she's
movie
adorable.
Is like a goal. A diamond in the rough. Like, it's.
I actually really enjoyed rewatching this movie.
It's so much fun. It's a really fun movie. It's actually really well written. I think the horror is really great. I think the end is a little bit, but, you know, if that's the worst part of it, like, I think it's pretty fucking good for what it is.
I feel like there's so many things that are very satisfying about this movie where, like, you always have, you know, like, okay, so they're going to a game, but then they get stopped along the way. But, like, they actually kept on going. And, like, half the characters were like, no, we're still going to go to this game. But we have to turn around because there's, like, crazy traffic and it's the biggest game of the year. And then, like, you know, I like just how blatant, like, some of the, like, the tropes are. They're like, oh, are you going to have sex? Cool. We are. So you guys go pick them up because we're going to go do it in this tent.
Right.
And then, like, I don't know, like, a lot of, like, the wax visuals are really satisfying and also
they're very well done.
Very terrifying. Like, when Jared Padalecki is, like, getting waxed up is, like, I feel like I missed a lot of that or maybe just, like, didn't remember it when I first watched it because this held up a lot more than I thought it was going to.
Yeah, it's really great and terrifying. I love the scene where, like, after he's been waxified and he's, spoiler alert, he's sitting at the piano and like, he just comes up and just starts peeling away at his face. It's just, like, blood.
And he starts crying. His tears are coming out.
He's blinking. He's still fucking alive, dude.
Ugh, brutal.
It's so fucked up.
So brutal. And apparently the opening scene was supposed to be them getting this, like, you know, killing this girl. And that's who he's, like, Vincent's working on in the cut scenes when, like, Carly and Jared Padalecki are teetering along in the wax museum upstairs.
Yeah.
I don't know. I really had a lot of fun with this movie.
It's a lot of fun. And I've seen parts of it. I don't think I've seen the whole thing all the way through. I knew and I remembered the end very well. But I don't know that I remember the beginning of this movie. So, and I don't remember the big reveal that the whole town is, like, basically a wax town.
Yeah.
And so it was really effective to me. I wasn't really expecting all that. And I like the neighbor peeking, and then you just find out it's just, like, mechanics, and I don't want to say it's a good movie, but it's kind of a good movie.
It is kind of a good movie.
It's kind of a really good movie. Like, it's fun. It knows what it is. It doesn't take itself too seriously, but the gore is there. The terrifyingness is there. The things happening are super creepy. We also have, what's this? Oh, this guy. I wrote it down. What's this guy's name?
Which one?
The guy that's the bad guy.
Not Vincent, the other one? Bo?
Yes.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Oh, he's from Cougar Town.
Oh.
Did you ever watch Cougar Town?
I've seen it, like, I know who you're talking about.
He
like,
plays Courtney Cox's ex-husband in Cougar Town, and they're friends still.
And I've seen, like, clips of it.
It took me a really long time to place him because he looks very different in this movie. And I'm like, where do I know that guy from? And I had to look it up. And I was like, oh, my God, he looks so different. He's, like, so much younger in this movie, too, obviously.
It's 2005.
I think he does a great job. He's really super creepy. The gore in this is really good. I just loved it. I really did. Like, the acting is a little bit rough around the edges, especially in any scene with Paris Hilton. But, you know,
her scream is like horrendous, but I don't want to make fun of it too badly because apparently she was like super self-conscious about it. But it's like not a good horror scream.
She's just not. She has no business being in this movie.
No.
It's
but again,
so,
you get asked to be in a horror movie, you say yes.
Well, and they put people in it that they know will want to see it, will make people want to see it. You know, like in 2005, these were big names, a lot of them, especially Paris Hilton. I'm sure that put butts in the seats. Although I don't think this movie made a ton of money or even did very well.
I think it made like $70 million worldwide.
Oh, did it?
Yeah, like it definitely recouped.
But how much of a budget did it have?
It recouped its budget for sure. I think opening weekend, I remember it doing $12 million. I don't remember how much it cost to make. I did look up. But also Chad Michael Murray was huge at the time. Because wasn't he in, he was in some TV show.
He was in Gilmore Girls, but he was also in the OC.
No. No, because I watched the OC, so I would have known. Him.
Or One Tree Hill, one
that,
of those.
That's it. I One think Tree Hill. It. So the budget was $30 million.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean it did its job.
It did its job then.
It did its job.
I didn't see this in theaters when it came out though. I was like, that's some kind of teeny bopper horror shit. I'm not watching.
I did see it in theaters. I saw any horror movie in theaters.
You're not an elitist bitch like I am though, Carly.
That's true. I'll go see anything. I had a lot of dollar theaters around me at the time, too.
Yeah.
I really liked this movie.
It's really good. It really, like, and it got me on the edge of my seat, like, when Bo is chasing her in the car or when she's in the basement of the gas station. He cuts off her finger. Like, that shit's fucking creepy. It's so good. It's really well done.
When she tumbles down the hill into bloody, murdered roadkill animals.
So
I was
gross.
Like, holy, I would be throwing up all over myself.
Yeah.
Like, there's just no two ways about it.
And there's a couple times in this movie where I'm like, oh, got you. Like, there's like, this is a big plot hole. Like, they wrap it up. They wrapped up all my plot holes. And there might be others, but the ones that I had in my head, they were wrapped up. Who's that guy? Oh, wrapped it up at the end.
Yeah.
He's the third brother, apparently.
Yeah.
The only thing that, like, I'm not really sure I understand or really get is the whole twin thing, conjoined twin thing. I'm not sure why that's necessary or why it matters who is who or, like, who's the good twin and who's the bad twin. There's, like, a lot of, like, good twin, bad twin thing happening. And there's, like, the Carly and Chad Michael Murray's character are the good twin, bad twin too. I'm not really sure why that duality is needed or if it really adds anything to it. I feel like they meant to explore it more and maybe some of that got edited out. But I thought that was a little out of nowhere and unnecessary. Showing the high chairs, I don't really know that it's nice to know a little bit of the backstory, but it got kind of weird where they kept showing stuff towards the end. And I'm like, but what is this really showing me that I didn't already know?
Yeah.
You know, I felt like it was supposed to be a big reveal. Like, oh, this one's I kind of already figured that out. Like, it didn't.
I don't think I think the big reveal was just that, like, I don't even think there was, like, necessarily a big reveal, so to say. I think it's just that, like, they were so secluded in this town that obviously, like, hasn't been a real town for 10 years. And obviously, like, you have the Vincent who, like, maybe a nod to Vincent Price.
Yes.
But, like,
sounds like it.
you know, he you can kind of understand why he is so enthralled in making beautiful things, and especially, like, so he's very artistic and, like, you know, he likes the wax because obviously he wears this wax face to kind of cover up his imperfection and to so he can, like, make himself beautiful. And he's very, like,
fixed it with a hot spoon. I thought that scene was kind of cool.
Yeah, so did I. And then you just have, like, the asshole twin who, you know, I guess there's no real reason why he's an asshole except for maybe he just, like, had really bad ADD as a child and was severely mistreated by his parents.
That part in the beginning, I was like, this just looks like someone shoving an autistic child into a high chair.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally what I thought. I'm like, this kid just seems like he's autistic.
Yeah.
And they're, like, duct taping him to a high chair.
I'm like, so it kind of fucks you up a little bit.
Yeah, I would think so.
And so, you know, he wants to just murder people.
That's true. But when I say the reveal, I mean a specific scene where Carly is running around the house at the end of the movie and she sees the two high chairs and she notices.
But she saw those earlier in the movie as well.
Yeah, but she runs past them and sees the second one that has, like, the straps on it.
Oh.
And, like, blood or something, because apparently for 20-something years there's been blood on this high chair that no one cleaned off. But maybe that's just, like, she's noticing that he had bruises on his wrist, and then we see...
Yeah.
Although, why would you still have bruises on your wrist? Was that... I thought it looked like bruises, but maybe it was, like, scars?
I think it was scars from, like, obviously being duct taped and then removed and then duct taped and then removed. Like, that skin's going to get ripped away from his little baby
arms. It looked
like
bruises to me a little bit, though, and I was kind of confused by it.
I don't think I noticed it later. I noticed it in the shot where the truck first comes upon them when they're partying. And, like, he's smoking a cigarette and it kind of goes on. And so that's when I kind of was like, okay, well, that's that guy.
Yeah.
Like, where's this? Now what? Now what? Next. I will say the scene that, like, totally got me was when Vincent scissors, so that's, like, the wrong term, but, like, snips Jared Padalecki's Achilles tendon.
Oh, my God.
It, like, that is, like, my, I mean, it's anybody's Achilles heel, I guess, but, like, for some reason, like, seeing that in movies, like, just, like, makes my skin crawl. Like,
it's
I hated it in
Pet
Kill
Cemetery.
Bill. I hated it in Pet Sematary. In this movie, there's this one of the, like, After Dark Horror Fest movies, like, that happens, but they shove, like, a rod in the back foot and then push the cartilage out through the side. And I'm just like, every single time anything, like, I vividly, like, remember this, and it, like, it trips me out every time. I hate it so much.
Yeah, I mean, that scene in Pet Sematary is, like, burned in my brain. So good. It's such a great little ode. It was definitely a nod to Pet Sematary. It totally felt like a nod because it was the same spot. It was a very similar shot where he just kind of comes out of the basement and just fucking...
I hate it.
Snip, snip, snip.
In a good way. I hate it in a good way.
Yeah.
Like, it, like, literally just, like, tenses my whole body up.
Yeah. The Paris Hilton strips scene... Okay, so it's 2005.
Was awkwardly long, first of all.
It's very long. She's wearing lingerie while she's camping, which, fine.
It's Paris Hilton.
She has the longest torso I think I have ever seen on a human being, ever. She's very beautiful. I think Paris Hilton's beautiful. She's a pretty woman, but she also looks like a Barbie doll. Like, she's very plasticky looking. But when she's dancing... She's not even dancing. She's taking off her clothes and giggling. Like, it's not a dance. Like, Tony's like, oh, look at the stripping dance. And I'm like, she's not dancing. There's literally zero dancing happening.
No.
There's music and she's taking off her clothes, but there's literally no dancing happening here. But, you know, she doesn't have
to. What are you
going
to do?
And I've never seen A Night in Paris, but from what I hear, there's a very similar thing happening in that.
That's just how she does
that piece of
Amy.
Cinema that exists in the world.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know, when you're pretty, you don't have to do as much work. I'm just saying. Got your money, you got your body, you just put on the music.
She took
and
it and run.
Don't have to do any of
she
the work.
She took it and ran with it. That's what she did.
But I just love that because it's such like, it's like, oh, it's so early 2000s. And the music in this is like, oh, holy radio rock. It's very much like, didn't Cabin Fever have like a similar thing I talked about where it's like, you know, a lot of like the early 2000s radio music.
Yeah, this is like, God, there was like My Chemical Romance. There was like Joy Division, which was very out of like place for it. Like lots of other like new metal-y kind of.
Do we see this in movies anymore? Is this something that's gone now where we hear like trendy radio music in our films? Or am I just not watching those kinds of films anymore? Where I feel like this was super popular in the 90s and the early 2000s and then kind of fell off.
I mean, there are definitely movies that very much highlight more contemporary music, for sure. Like, I definitely have seen movies recently where I felt like whoever's in charge of the music literally is just going through their iTunes library, pressing play, and, like, going through certain scenes. But I definitely think that this particular movie is like an era movie. Like, this is like what 2005 looked like.
It's
true.
It's true. And in the 90s too, like, you get that. I can think of like basically any like late 90s, early 2000s slasher has this. Like anything I can think of, like Scream being the exception, where Scream has like legit songs that like have been around for a while and different stuff happening. There's Alice Cooper in it. There's all sorts of, there's Nick Cave's in Scream. But then there's like, we also have movies like this where it's like, well, let's just see what's on the radio.
Yeah.
And maybe we can get some Creed in there. I don't know if Creed's actually in there, but it's might as well be.
I think it's Disturbed.
same shit. I don't know. Since it's Disturbed, it probably is.
I feel like it is. Or like the Deftones. The Deftones are definitely in it. That one is Disturbed, yes.
Yay! I'm so sad I remembered that. Oh my God.
I think
God.
That was like their one, I don't know, their one song, right?
You're asking the wrong person.
Well, obviously you know it, so apparently, that had to have been
I
their one song.
I just remember that. I mean, how
that's
do
the
you
only
forget
song that I know.
The ooh-ah.
Watch, people are going to be like, that's not even Disturbed.
It's probably not. And if it's not, fuck. I'm so happy about it. I want to be wrong. I don't want to be right about this shit. Oh, my God. Yeah. There is just... Her death scene is great, though. The Paris Hilton death scene
It was
is
supposed
great.
To be longer and more gory, and I want to see that cut.
I would love to see that cut. Because it's
really
a great
do.
Scene, and I think it's... She's so stupid.
Like, and it wraps up like, where do all the cars go? Yeah. Oh, in this warehouse that they have all these cars hidden in.
Yeah. Although it is kind of weird that they're camping at the same place that they camped the night before, and then all of a sudden she runs for 5 seconds and she's in this like giant.
They say that they're moving.
Oh, okay.
They say, so we're going to go back to your car, but we're going to pick a new spot.
Okay.
Because we don't want, like, those creepy guys to come back or whatever. So it's, like, in a slightly different spot.
Got you.
But they obviously had to go back kind of to the same area because that's where Jared's car was.
Yeah. Jared Padalecki.
Oh.
Wade. And we still have the random douchebag friend. Although he's slightly less douchey in this movie. The camera guy, whatever his name is.
Yeah, he's a nicer...
He's a nicer version of...
He's like Chad's sidekick, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of a... You know, we still have the two couples, and then we have, like, a couple other people.
Yeah.
And then, luckily, he's not as douchey as they usually are in these movies, where I can still watch it and be like, okay, he has good parts to him, too. He's not 100% shitty, which is nice. Can we have... I like it when our characters aren't completely one-sided. And they did do a good job of that. Like, I saw good and bad to basically all of these characters.
Yeah.
Some of them are better actors than others, and some of their dialogue is a little better than others. But the characters themselves were a little bit better rounded than you see in movies like this. A little
Agreed.
Bit more well-rounded. Yeah, so that
was good.
And they
all seem to, like each other. Like, even though they had, like, even, like, Chad Michael Murray is like, no, like, Wade's a good guy. He's fine.
Yeah, I liked that scene.
Yeah.
For some reason, it's the stupidest little shortest scene, It was kind of almost a throwaway scene, but it really added so much dimension to that character in just like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It worked really well.
Yeah.
And I love how he just is such a badass at the end. Like, great. The characters were smart. They figured shit out quickly. There was nothing, like, the things they were doing seemed like the right things at the time.
Agreed.
I loved her hiding spot in the church.
Yes!
Fantastic hiding spot. Because you're like, where is she hiding? Where
is she? Under a pew? What's happening? Yeah. Nope, she's under the church man.
Fucking brilliant. Great hiding spot. I even wrote that. I'm like, great fucking hiding spot. Like, I never would have even thought of that.
No,
so good. I did like, we have smart, intelligent characters who are doing intelligent things. They're better rounded. That's not something you see in early 2000 horror movies. It's not. It's just good writing. Whether you like the movie or not, it's good writing for the time for a movie like this. It exceeds expectations for sure. So I'm telling you, I had a good time watching this. I'd watch it again. I enjoyed it.
I would too, and I probably will one more time before it goes away.
Yeah, I would
like to. I actually think I might own this movie, if we're going to be honest. I don't know where it is, but I feel like it was in a $5 bin somewhere many years ago when I bought it.
So the only real, like, one of the issues I had, what I kept writing down, was when there's a scene where the guy's about to start killing Carly and putting her in this wax stuff, and he super glues her mouth shut, and she tears it open. That could have been such an amazing scene if it like drew out throughout the film, where it felt like 10 minutes after that her lips are fine and she's talking fine and she's maybe wearing a nice lip stain.
She actually insisted that they use real glue, so like they use real glue for that scene.
Yes, I did read that, and that's really cool. But I mean, in terms of like special effects and like the way she's acting after, you would not be talking normally.
She would be sore. She'd be very sore.
And her lips would look fucking mangled. She has like a berry stain. She has like a really nice lipstick happening. And I'm just like, I don't think so. I want to see some like skin dangling or something.
That'd
like
be
make
great.
Her look gross. Like,
yeah.
They're just so afraid to make young actresses look gross in movies. I hate that. I want to see some nasty ass grossness in my female characters in my horror movies. I'm just saying.
It didn't bother me.
It's fine if they start off pretty, but can we get some like weird, creepy, weird stuff? Like that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun of all this.
Some weird, creepy, weird stuff. I like it. I loved at the end. I loved all the wax stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like when they were like digging out of the wall or when like she was getting stuck in the bed.
Yes. Or the steps, even just the stairs, like your feet sinking in the stairs was really great.
It looked so good. And I think they used peanut butter, which I love.
Yeah. Yeah. Peanut butter is great. Who doesn't like peanut butter?
Just like, well, I don't know. I really liked this movie.
And the digging out is really cool. I liked it. I don't know. How did you feel about that guy being the third brother? Did that add anything to the movie for you? Is that supposed to be some kind of sequel setup, perhaps?
I think it might have been a sequel setup. But I also, it didn't need to be because I don't think that he was evil necessarily like the other two. Like, yeah. I'm really curious as to what would have happened if he would have just driven them to the gas station.
Yeah. But he also brought them into that town.
Yeah. But he also didn't, like, that's not what he led with, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that was kind of, like, an afterthought. And he seemed like he was genuinely just, like, trying to help. So, like, I don't know if he was evil, if he was trying to get, like, you know, kill them. Or if he was, like, just this, like, third wheel that's kind of just around.
Right. Yeah. I don't either. I kind of wish I knew a little bit more of why they added that character, other than the fact that they needed to somehow tie him in with the rest of the town, so they made him a third brother. But it also felt like the ending felt very much set up for a sequel. And if it did so well, I'm surprised why they didn't do one.
Yeah, I am too, kind of. But also kind of happy because I don't think that character could have handled it on his own.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't, yeah, I like this movie. I think it's great as is. I think it's rewatchable now. It stands up pretty well to the test of time. Even the clothing choices aren't super off-putting. And like nothing seems kind of timeless, honestly. Like there's a little bit of stuff where you're like, eh. But for the most part, it's really easy to watch and easy to relate to.
Yeah.
Still even to this day. And I think it's kind of awesome. It's kind of a hidden treasure. So if you haven't seen it, I think it's worth watching for sure. It's on Netflix for maybe no more time after you've already listened to this. But
yeah. But check it out. Find it.
Check it out anyway. I think it's fun. It's a good one. For sure. Okay. You ready to move on?
Yes.
Okie dokie. Well, let's get started with our newest segment that we like to call
Social Media Question of the Week.
Very nice, Carly.
Thanks.
This week, our question is a little tricky. I had trouble coming up with a question this week. If you were part of a horror-themed wax exhibit, what would it look like and what would you be doing?
So we have via Twitter, at Donna Nelly says, a recreation of the scene in Demons where the creatures come through the movie theater screen and I'd be one of the audience members.
Oh.
I like it.
That's a really great scene. If you've never seen Demons, it's a fantastic. I love that movie, and I really love that scene. Although I think I might want to be a demon coming through the movie screen if I was going to be in that one. That would be rad.
That would be really cool. Also from Twitter, at Cake of Doom says, I'd be trapped inside the blob.
Oh, that's a good one. You'd be all so mangled good. And gross.
Yes.
That would be rad.
Love it.
On Facebook, Cat Black says, it would be a street trash exhibit. I would have a bottle of the wine in my hand and I would be melting into a toilet.
So good.
That's a good scene.
So good.
I like that. And we have Tommy B on Facebook says, I'd be made to look like Suicide from Return of the Living Dead, getting my brains eaten by Tar Man. Also a very good scene. And we just got a tweet from Elizabeth that says she would be Asami from Audition, putting needles in faces and amputating limbs with piano wire.
Awesome.
That is very much in the Elizabeth fashion.
Yep. So good.
Although that scene is fantastic, but that is basically the only scene in the movie where I'm like, okay, I can watch this. And it's too far at the end. I get so bored watching that movie. I know people really like it and I own it, but I just can't love it the way everyone else does. Sorry, getting into Audition. Have you seen Audition, Carly?
I have, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a while. I remember liking it.
Yeah, I just remember it being really slow. I guess it's been a while. I should try rewatching it, maybe.
I think that's just kind of like, really great. Like Japanese horror is kind of slow. In a good way.
It can be. At least when there's ghosts, I don't think it is, though. I don't know. Maybe I need to think about this a little more. Do you have one? Have you thought about this at all?
What jumped into my head first was the Are You Afraid of the Dark Nosferatu thing. So very similar to our friend Donna Nelly, but with Are You Afraid of the Dark and Nosferatu coming out of the movie screen, or I guess like me going into it and being kind of like a half and half, like in the real world and in Nosferatu's world.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I immediately thought of the birds. I really love Roseanne, and I love the Halloween episodes of Roseanne especially, and I always think of the one where Becky's dressed up as the girl from the birds and the bird is hanging on her head with the eyeball. I've always wanted to do that, and I just think that would be such a fun exhibit to be in.
You should
like
do that would be amazing.
It would be amazing. I would love to do that. I think that's mine. I think that's what I would like to be.
Awesome.
In my horror movie wax music exhibit. Okay, well, let's keep moving on. We haven't recorded in like 2 weeks, so I haven't even talked to you hardly at all, Carly. You've been doing some stuff?
Not crazy stuff.
No?
Nothing really. I saw Alien Covenant the other day.
Yes, you've been saying some very heart-wrenching things on Twitter about it.
It was so bad, though.
Wow.
Like, I literally...
Wait. Tell our listeners at home. I know, but tell our listeners at home what you said on Twitter about...
I said it was the worst movie that I've seen in a while. And then everyone's like, Oh, you forgot that you watched these terrible movies a couple weeks ago.
Just watched The Disappointments Room and Satanic and Cabin Fever 2.
Were those movies directed by Ridley Scott? I don't think so.
Is that what you're saying? You're putting it to a higher standard?
When I go into a movie and I have really low expectations for this movie already, because Prometheus was fine, but I didn't love it. And I didn't really hear the best things about this movie. And so I went in with already really low expectations, and it didn't even meet those expectations. Wow. It didn't make sense. It literally was like a bad horror movie where these scientists were literally acting like children that had didn't understand how to form thoughts and make sense of things that they were doing. And it was just it was so, I literally, during, the first, big alien part, I just started laughing because it was just, silly. And the CGI wasn't even good. I will never watch this movie again.
Oh. Pew, pew, pew. That's shots fired.
Sorry. If anybody liked this movie, which I haven't I don't know, haven't heard anybody like this movie.
I haven't heard anyone really defending it, except for a couple stragglers that are just going to be completely devoted to anything with the alien name on it. I'm going to wait. I kind of decided I was going to wait. I thought I would go see it in theaters, but then after hearing all the shit I've been hearing, I'm like, I'll watch it. I'm just going to wait. I don't feel the need to see this on the big screen. I don't feel the need to see it really at all, but I will. As I said in our last episode, it's just not something I'm glad it exists. I'm sure if some people like it, I'm happy for them. I'm not in that pool of
people. This movie adds nothing to the universe.
That's really too bad. I think a lot of people were expecting a lot from it. It's tough. It's tough when you have high expectations for something and it doesn't work out. So sorry for any fans who have been disappointed by that. But if you have liked it, please let us know why or what you did like about it. I didn't see it. So
no, honest, I know.
I don't mean that in a snobby way.
It came out in a funny way.
Tell me what interested you in it and what made it good for you. Because I would like to think if a movie like this exists, someone likes it, especially with Ridley Scott, who is,
who is
kind of a legend, but
yeah,
is also fucking almost 80 years old. Can we give the dude a fucking break? He still has five movies in his pocket. He's still working. Maybe he shouldn't be, but all due respect.
Honestly, this, I blame it on the script, to be totally honest. Yeah. It wasn't shot poorly by any way, any means. There's some questionable acting moments for me.
CGI isn't good.
The CGI is really not that great. But Alien didn't, that's not what Alien was about. Alien wasn't about strong CGI. Alien looked amazing because it was Alien.
True, but even in Prometheus, it didn't look bad.
No.
I don't know.
But the script, it's the script just feels like it was thrown together last minute.
Yeah.
It just, the thoughts weren't there.
I hear you. It makes me sad, but I can't believe you feel so strongly about it.
I was upset, honestly.
It was fine. I honestly thought you would just be it was fine. It's not for me, but it was fine. But you're you are mad about it, which is...
I didn't realize I was mad until I started talking about it.
Yeah. You don't usually get mad unless you're expecting something. So the fact that I knew you expected very little and you still are this upset, it's just I'm a little bit sad about it.
There were stupid moments. There's one that I don't want to say because I don't want to ruin it. It's not a spoiler alert, but we'll talk about that afterwards.
Okay. I watched Digging Up the Marrow, which I believe was recommended to us during our found footage episode we did a long time ago about people searching for monsters underground or whatever.
Yeah.
I actually kind of liked it. I didn't love it. I think at Giant Bee With You on Twitter, I think he recommended it. And I didn't hate it because I remember him recommending me that sounds interesting. It was on Shudder. So I was I'll check that out. And, you know, I had pretty low expectations, but it was decent. I don't think it was great, but it was watchable. It was interesting enough. Tony sat down and watched it with me because it was silly. It was silly, but it was fun.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's worth watching if you just want something easy to watch and put on the background. I think it was kind of interesting because the director that did it isn't a director in real life and plays himself. So it's like,
Adam Green.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Kind of interesting take. But that's really all I got. I haven't been doing too much. I've been really busy in my personal life, which is why we didn't really record a new episode last week. So I don't know. I don't have too much to report back on unless you guys want to hear me talk about my job, which fuck, no one does. I don't even want to hear about it. So I guess we can just close out then.
Sounds good.
Okay. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Visit FinalGirlsHorrorcast.com for more information on them. We also still have stickers to give away. If you want some free stickers, that's it. I said it. Free. F-R-E-E. Stickers. Just for you. Email us. FinalGirlsHorrorcast@gmail.com or send me a private message on Twitter or whatever and we'll send some to you. Just let me know what your address is. That's all you have to do.
Simple.
I'm not weird. We're not creepy. We don't stalk you. I can give you names and addresses of people I already sent stickers to.
Yeah, that would be weird. A little bit. Oh, man. So, yeah, basically, if you want stickers, rate us, email us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com, and we will send some your way, sans other people's addresses.
I'm really sorry.
Oh, she's dying. Final Girls Horrorcast is part of the Phantom Podcast Network. We are available on downrightcreepy.com, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Tuned In, and pretty much anywhere else you can stream a podcast. We are also active on social media, so please interact with us. You can find us on Twitter at Final Girls HC and Instagram and Facebook. Just search for Final Girls Horrorcast.
Wouldn't it be so funny if I just started sending other people's addresses?
No, she's not going to do that.
I just like thought about doing it. I wouldn't ever really actually do it, but it came out of my mouth and then I just thought about how funny it would be if I actually did that.
Like, that's so funny.
Really trustworthy. Look at these. Here's some addresses of people we already sent stickers to. Oh my god. I'm
fucking
stupid.
They'll just be best friends.
Oh my god. Okay. Sorry. On next week's episode, please join us. We are going to be watching The Last Exorcism, which is on Hulu and Amazon, and we'll also be doing Ava's Possessions, which is streaming on Netflix. So you should be able to watch those ahead of time if you haven't already seen The Last Exorcism. I highly recommend it. I haven't seen Ava's Possessions yet, so that'll be new for me. And I think they're both new for you, Carly. Is that true?
That is correct.
All right. So that'll be fun. Maybe. Probably. Hopefully. Until then, I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Bye.
Bye.